of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk. Welcome to Muffin Talk. This radio program is brought to you by the initiative Titipaunamu, Study and Joy. Once a week, I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, religions and beliefs, and the care of the earth. Today, I would like to replay a session about meditation that was recorded some years ago. My guest then was Father Peter Murphy, who at the time was the parish priest of St. Mary's Papakura in Auckland, where he introduced Christian meditation to primary school children. Here goes the recording. Father Peter, you are well experienced in Christian meditation. Most people, when they think of meditation, they think of many different sorts of meditation. And can you tell us a little bit more about what you see as the Christian meditation?
Well, there are many different sorts of meditation. The meditation or the method that I follow was one that was recovered by John Main, who was a Benedictine monk. He actually discovered it first in Malaysia in the 1950s. At that time, he was working for the colonial service prior to liberation, or what do they call it, the end of the colonial period. Mm-hmm. And when he entered the monastery, he was told he couldn't practice this because it was Eastern. But then he recovered it later by reading the Desert Fathers, particularly John Cassian. They date back to the 4th, 5th century in Egypt. And he found there that a reference to a method of prayer using of a so-called formula. And he saw that it was part of a Christian tradition. So he started practicing it again, and then a short time afterwards teaching it in London. And that was in the mid-70s. And from there, it's really spread throughout the world.
That's interesting. So you said fifth century already.
Fourth century, yes.
I looked it up a little bit, and I found about Thomas of Aquinas. And he considered meditation as extremely important for the spiritual formation. And that was in the 13th century. So it's even older.
Oh, yes.
And who's using it? Is it seminarians who were using it, or when did you start?
Well,
at that time, or 13th century, apparently there was more spiritual formation. So I think that it was more focused on those who had some spiritual vocation.
As I mentioned earlier, there are many different forms of meditation. The form that I was formed in when I was a student is very different from what I practice now. It was very much what we call mental prayer, thinking about God, thinking of a gospel passage, imagining oneself within that, and imagining what God would be saying to me. So very much a mental process, whereas this practice that I follow now is, we call it prayer of the heart. And the essential aspect of it is just letting go of all thoughts, and doing so by the praying of a mantra or prayer word. And the particular prayer word that we use, or that is recommended, it's not essential, is the word Maranatha, which is really the most ancient Christian prayer.
So what is a mantra in the Christian world?
The mantra, it's a prayer word, simply. Mm-hmm. Yes. And just the simple repetition, mm-hmm, of this word. And naturally, one prays, when one is still, distractions come flooding in. And as soon as one becomes aware that one is distracted, the teaching is to simply go back to just listening to this word, and gradually it leads to a greater stillness. Mm. And the recommendation is that one does this twice a day, early morning, and at the end of the working day, prior to eating. Yeah, it's no good meditating on a full stomach. Because your body is processing food. And to do this for, well, the optimum time was 30 minutes. But, it takes a good 20 minutes, really, for the mind to quieten down.
So that's then you have 10 minutes left for the meditation.
Well, sometimes it works that way, sometimes it doesn't.
But there's also the contemplative prayer and the centering prayer and prayers like the rosary. Where does the Christian meditation fit in all
this? Christian meditation and centering prayer are very much parallel streams. They were being taught in the mid-70s. Centering prayer had a different origin, really. It came out of more a 14th century classic, which was called The Cloud of Unknowing. And Father Thomas Keating is probably the main teacher of that. And he was in Spencer, Massachusetts at their monastery. And what really stimulated them to start, or to start doing this, was people came knocking on the door looking for the Buddhist monastery, which was just down the road. So, but they're very parallel streams. The difference between the method I practice and centering prayer is just simply the insistence on the mantra. And, that's primarily, but the same recommendation twice a day, 20 to 30 minutes each time.
And the contemplative prayer?
Contemplative prayer. Well, both practices, centering prayer, Christian meditation, are forms of silent prayer. They lead to contemplation. So contemplation is when you're one with the prayer of Christ, because what we say our practice is Christian because our attention is on coming to know Christ. And when you pray and when you come to that prayer point where your prayer is one with Christ, you're not aware of it because there's no sense of he there and me here. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of unity. But being in that unity, you're not aware that you're there until you come out of, until you realize that you're distracted or something like that.
Mm. So contemplative prayer, you already have to go through the...
Yes, all prayer... See, all Christians are called to contemplation.
Yes.
And all forms of prayer do, if people go into them do them seriously, lead to that. The rosary, too, is a form of meditation because it's repetitious and it has a rhythm about it, so it does lead to contemplation. But, that's really the goal of all prayer, to come to that experience of being in the temple, as it were.
So you were mentioning already other religions and other types of meditation. Can you tell me a little bit more about the difference? What is the main difference between Christian meditation and other sorts of meditation?
Well, people often identify meditation with Eastern practices, Buddhism, Hinduism, and they have a longer and an unbroken tradition of meditation than we have, certainly in the West. In Eastern Christianity, there is that unbroken tradition. They might not practice it, but nevertheless, they know what it is. But in the West, we've lost touch with that. So it seems to reemerge, particularly at times, creative periods, times of breakdown. And that's very much why it appeals today to people, because they can find in this practice, come to their own center. And in coming to their center, they find themselves, there's that still point of peace. And the sense where everything is one. Mm-hmm. In my own experience, that was very important to find that, because it became an anchor at a time when I needed an anchor, something to, some stability.
Yeah, and meditation comes from Latin meditare, to think, reflect, or ponder. And is that the part that all different meditations have in common?
Well, no. In meditare, the As I mentioned earlier, the form of meditation that I practiced as a student, or was taught as a student, was very much mental prayer. So there you have your thinking, mm-hmm. reflecting, cogitating, etc. But the practice that I follow now is more akin to Eastern practices, insofar as they are letting go of thoughts. But the difference is that is coming to know Christ. Basically, that's where we are, and that's where we
So the goal is the difference.
The goal is the difference. Yes, and the context is, of course, one of faith.
Yes.
Buddhist, of course, is very much of a faith person.
Yes.
But people who do it just for health purposes, or for just their mental and mental well-being, probably their more focus is more on the technique and what they gain from it.
Maybe for them the first 20 minutes are the most important.
Quite possibly, yes.
Well, it depends on how you feel good and what yes, your goal yes. is. So
whereas doing it in the faith context, you're not looking for for those results, as
yes.
it were.
Yeah,
you're just different. it's simply faithfulness, being faithful
yes.
to the practice.
Yeah.
And letting go of self is really the essence of it.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who've just turned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This radio program is brought to you by the initiative Titi Paunamo, Study and Joy. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Father Peter Murphy. Father Peter has told us about the history of Christian meditation and what makes it different to other types of meditation. One of the main points is the goal, the faith way. And now I'd like to know a little bit, well, you told me already how you started with meditation, how you came to meditation. But I've heard a lot about you using meditation. You're actively involved in Christian meditation for children. How do children react on this practice?
Children are naturally contemplative. They, in fact, very very early when you meditate with children, it's not so much you teaching them, but they teach you. And I remember one instance when I was, in a class at Babakura, I was with the new entrants, and a little girl asked me at the end of it, "What if I can't remember the word?" And then before I could answer...
So the mantra word?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Before I could answer, another little girl said, "Jesus will help you." So they come out with these pearls
yes.
every so often.
Yes.
And the little ones are just... they've been introduced this by their teacher too, but they're just gorgeous.
How long do they do the meditation?
1 minute per year of age. So with 5-year-olds, we do yes. it for 5 minutes.
Yes.
And for 10-year-olds, 10 minutes. And we stop at 99. When you get to 100, you start off.
And the children are all receptive. You say the children are contemplative. You know, you have all these...
Naturally contemplative, yes. I think this is often misunderstood, that they're because they're agitated and they've got to be busy and so forth. Well, they actually yearn for this... space to be, yes, and it's something that many of them do on their own.
Yes.
I encourage them, for instance, when I don't encourage them to try and enforce on them necessarily a regular practice, but yes. just encourage them to do it. Well, if you're feeling sad, it'll help you feel better.
Yes.
If you're getting excited, it'll help you calm down. You can do this in your room. It's just to encourage them to be in tune or in touch with their own center. Because so often children simply don't, or not encouraged that because of media, noise, work, so mm-hmm. forth, pressures of life. They just don't recognize. So silence is the best teacher in this respect.
So the youngest children you've been doing Christian meditation with were like 5 years old?
4 years old.
4 years old, oh.
Yes, even preschool.
And the older ones?
I've done it with on a few occasions with high school students, but it's primarily going up to year six mm-hmm. and no year eight mm-hmm. in our own school. But they've been doing it now for a few years at the school where I'm at, the parish I'm at. So they know what to do.
Do you think that they will continue afterwards?
I hope so, but it just depends. They know at least when something happens,
yes.
when they need something like that, they know what to do. So you're giving them something for life. It's a gift for life.
Yeah.
In that respect.
A great tool.
Yeah.
And it
yes.
doesn't cost anything.
And it doesn't cost a thing. So they know they can find their strength
yes.
within themselves. Within their own heart.
And yeah. if they don't know the solution, Jesus will help.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
We mentioned that you were doing Christian meditation with teachers, with children. And where else do you use Christian meditation?
Well, I suppose the heart of the... We call ourselves a community because... although it's a worldwide community, there is an organization, but the whole point of the organization is to serve the practice, serve the community. Mm-hmm. And the heart of the community is the Christian Meditation Group. And you only need two to form a group, but these are groups that meet weekly. They listen to a teaching. They practice. They meditate for 20 to 30 minutes together. And that itself is quite a powerful experience. Just there's the energy that is created with people together is very strong, and it really forms a bond too. One of the sayings of John Maine was that meditation creates community, and I've experienced that in my own journey. That even with people with whom you have no association or no interests on a social level, there's the development of a bond at a deeper level.
So are there also some attempts to bring meditation to prisons?
Well, one of our members actually does go to the women prison. She's in her 80s.
Oh!
Yeah, she's been amazing.
And how's the reaction? Do you know anything about it? How do people react?
Good. This is the women's prison. Mm-hmm. I did it myself some years ago, going to Auckland Prison up in Perimarima. It was hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still sort of at early stages myself and trying to teach about it. I would perhaps feel more confident now, but I just don't have the time now. To my knowledge, that's the only prison. I think there are some in other parts of the country, but that's the only one.
I could imagine that when you're not used to meditation and you start quite late in your life and you've done already something wrong, then or you lose trust in other people, it will be harder to meditate.
Well, I know. I think it depends upon the openness of the person. I don't think it. There are issues there where, we have in the parish a gardener who's on a work to release program at the moment. Now she doesn't meditate, but I know I've seen some profound changes taking place just in the short time she's been working with us.
Can you give us an idea of how you structure the workshop on meditation? Do you have to be silent for hours, or do you have to sit in a certain position? Because I know that you have these 20 minutes to to let go, but some people feel comfortable in different positions, but do you have to be in a certain position?
Having a straight back.
Having a straight back,
so you can breathe properly. that's really the key thing.
Okay.
You automatically have that if you're sitting in a lotus position, but for most of us, just sitting, need a straight back chair, really, and use the back just as a support, but not to lean against. Basically, it's just simply being still. Where you put your hands is just where they fall. Just then closing one's eyes gently and just praying the word. The word that we recommend is the word Maranatha, just prayed slowly, Ma-ra-na-tha.
What does it mean?
It means come Lord or come Lord Jesus.
What language is it?
Aramaic, the language of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this registers with children too. Yeah, I'm speaking the language of Jesus.
That's why Jesus can help.
That's why Jesus can help, yeah. He can even understand his own language.
Okay, thank you very much, Father Peter, for all these explanations on the Christian meditation. And the only thing that you have to do is breathe well.
Keep breathing.
And you can practice yourself. That's very good.
Important to keep breathing.
Of course.
So far, the interview with Father Peter Murphy that was recorded a few years ago. Currently, there are several new meditation groups in Auckland and in many other parts of the country. If you are interested in deepening your experience in meditation, or even if you are new to meditation, you might like to attend the event, The Varieties of Spiritual Experience, which will be held at the Auckland School of Philosophy in Glendowie on Saturday, the 25th of May, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. You will learn more about this event in one of my next interviews, when I will interview Vincent Mayer, the organizer of the event. Remember to tune in on Friday mornings at 8:40 a.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or anytime online through my website at www.studyjoy.nz. And if you don't see it immediately, search for meditation. And here are some events that are coming up with Titiponamo Study and Joy. Our next Zoom events are Bible Stories, What Do They Mean? Join us in unraveling Bible stories and looking for answers within a group and with Bible scholar Kieran Finn. These are sessions held on Sundays, the first Sundays of the month, 3rd of March, 7th of April, 5th of May, always 5 to 6 p.m. on Zoom. And then we have a series coming up in April, a series about the mystery of miracles. They start the Monday after Easter on the 8th, and then the 15th, 22nd, and 29th of April, 7 to 8:30 p.m. These are all Mondays. This is also on Zoom. And then we have an on-site event. It's about the Stations of the Cross, Woodcraft, and Reflections. Titiponamo Study and Joy has recently published a little booklet with reflections and prayers on the carvings that focus on hands. These booklets are available in English and Samoan, and soon also in Fijian. At this event, which will be held in Maria Assumpta Parish, you will have the opportunity to meet the artist and the writer of this booklet and pray together the reflections with the original carvings. Saturday, 23rd of March, 10 a.m. to 11:30 at Maria Assumpta Parish in Beach Haven, Auckland. For further information and registration, please check out our website at www.studyjoy.nz. Kia kaha and keep safe.
That old peace is calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world a new day dawning and shining. Hear the cry for the world. sand. Can you hear the call of the prophets who see? Oh, where justice and mercy and peace are the songs in our day when
never miss your favorite